from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our opening hour this morning, we'll be joined in our first half hour by the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, Lisa Jackson, who yesterday toured green economy businesses in the Bay Area.
If we switch our thinking, if Americans say, hey, what can I do? I know I can demand that my city do what San Francisco's doing. We can create across our country millions of jobs.
We'll talk with her about a range of environmental issues, both local and national, as well as the president's jobs bill. And then at 9:30, Alexandra Fuller will join us in studio. She's the author of the highly praised memoir, Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight, and more recently, Cocktail Hour Under the Tree of Forgetfulness. Forum begins after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson is in the Bay Area meeting with local businesses and organizations to bring attention to innovation, green technology, and President Obama's jobs plan. A chemical engineer by training, she was appointed head of the EPA in 2008 by President Obama and served before that in the state of New Jersey as head of environmental protection. The EPA was established 40 years ago by then President Richard Nixon. Its chief, Lisa Jackson, joins us for this Forum half hour. And welcome to the program. Welcome to San Francisco, Administrator. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you for both. I'm glad to be here. It's an honor.
Well, I was almost tempted to begin by asking you to sing a little of Living for the City, but I'll move into the serious issues. Let's talk about jobs. There's a good deal of concern now, particularly after what happened at Solyndra and actually solar companies shutting down with bankruptcies, that the green technology program really isn't moving forward in the way that certainly the Obama administration had framed it initially or that we wanted to see it move forward. And I'd like to get your comment on that initially.
Sure. I mean, I think this is an important moment, and I think the president framed it really well last week in his speech to Congress. We have to double down. That's why he's put forward this week the American Jobs Act. And the reason I'm here is to put an underline under the green jobs part of jobs and the American Jobs Act. You know, this president has done so much to invest in jobs, and yes, everyone's talking about one failure. I think it's really important not to look just at that one business that failed, but instead at all the green jobs and all the green businesses that are out there that need right now the tax cuts in the American Jobs Act for small businesses, need the help so they can hire more workers, workers who need the training in order to do that work. It's more important than ever that instead of backing away, we continue to invest and insist on investment by our elected officials in that sector of our economy. That's where the growth is going to be.
Well, we recently had a program with a couple leading environmentalist names. I'm sure you're familiar with Bill McKibben and Paul Hawken. And Bill McKibben had been arrested for protesting the XL pipeline that's going from Alberta down the Gulf of Mexico. The concern here seems to be on many people's minds that perhaps the administration, in allowing that pipeline to move through, if indeed they do make that decision, will be capitulating to the idea that jobs come over environment or the economy comes over environment.
Right. Well, listen, first, on the pipeline, no decision has been made at this point. In fact, I believe the State Department is just about to embark on a series of public hearings and meetings around the country. That's something they agreed to do as part of the EIS they're preparing. So I have immense respect for those two fellows, as you might imagine. But what I would say is, they're exercising their democratic right to let their voice be heard, and certainly people are hearing it, but no decision's been made at this point.
Well, you said yesterday here in San Francisco that the EPA would delay rules requiring power plants to slash their greenhouse gas emissions, and the agency had said it would release the rules by September 30th. Was this a political decision?
No, not at all. And I got in a bit of trouble because I hadn't talked to the litigants and that we settled that case with, a number of environmental groups. And I don't want to say too much more because I want to make that right with them today. They are suing us, and we have been hearing from them and industry all along. We had a whole series of listening sessions on how to do these rules. We know they're precedent-setting. We know they're impactful, but we also know we have to be smart about it. I think we can find a place where everyone agrees we're moving forward, and I want their I want to have a conversation with them. I want us and them to talk, and then we'll talk about a new schedule.
We're talking, if you just joined us, with EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson. This comes, by the way, on the heels of President Obama's announcement to delay the ozone standard for at least 2 years, and that's a decision which has also been heavily criticized, as I'm sure you're well aware, by environmentalists. What did you think of the decision, and how do you respond to the critics?
Listen, it was a tough call. The president made a tough call, and, you know, I respect it. You know, I'm working in this administration, and we have a huge green agenda. It is one decision, and we're going to move forward to make sure that, first, we don't miss and lose all the incredible progress we've made under this president. I think it's important to know that everything from clean cars and clean trucks, which this president helped bring about, historic fuel efficiency and greenhouse gas standards for them are being talked about being rolled back right now in the U.S. Congress. Mercury rules across the country for the 50% of power plants that just continue to not want to control for mercury and other toxic pollution.
Forgive me, those are due out in November, and the president has said he won't back down on that.
Absolutely. He actually even mentioned it last week. So I know that there's been talk on ozone, and I'm talking with people about it. And what I say to them is that, you know, what Americans are talking about right now is jobs. And so as important it is to continue to fight, I'm also really focused on making sure people understand that green jobs are what we have to be working on with everything we do.
There's also a threat by environmentalists and fishing groups to actually sue federal agencies over cleaning up selenium pollution from irrigated farmland over on the west side of the San Joaquin Valley. Given the concern about selenium pollution, and particularly in the Delta, I'm talking locally now, but I know you're well aware of this concern and the possible litigation and the impact on threatened species, what action is the EPA going to take?
Well, EPA is doing a lot of work on water quality issues, as you mentioned, in the agricultural regions of the state, because there are two big issues. It's how much water, which EPA doesn't control, but also water quantity. So we have, and we've been working with the group that is looking at water quantity issues, because if we can get more clean water, find ways to use either our Superfund laws or other laws to help clean up water that's already contaminated, then that puts more water back into the system. That work is ongoing, and I think it's something we believe is extremely important.
And what about the work to improve Lake Tahoe and California's wetlands?
So important. We're actually really proud. Here's, you know, I'm a scientist, as you mentioned. You know, we have to keep Tahoe blue, as everyone who loves that lake is saying. And the lack of clarity and visibility in that lake over the years, we now know, although we thought it was nutrient pollution, is actually very fine sediment pollution. That's a case where science has actually informed us that we could do everything we want to deal with fertilizer and nutrients, but we still wouldn't deal with the problem. So the new diet, we call them total maximum daily limits, but the new sediment diet for the lake is designed to increase clarity a half a foot a year for all the years to come. And we believe that's very doable. And technology and engineers have given us these great vacuums, which can take the fine sediment off the road so that in the winter season it doesn't end up in Lake Tahoe.
And we're talking with Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lisa Jackson here in the Bay Area, meeting with local businesses and organizations, highlighting innovation and green technology, and discussing President Obama's jobs plan. You can join us, and if you'd like to, you can do that toll-free, 866-733-6786. Our phone number to call, and this is a half-hour segment, so if you'd like to talk with the administrator or raise a question or comment, the number to call is 866-733-6786. This would be a good time to call. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post a question or comment on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. Administrator, the EPA's authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions, I know you're hanging tough on. In fact, you used to call at the EPA, the Emissions Permission Agency, back in the day. But at this point, you're facing a lot of opposition. Obviously, in fact, the EPA is a favorite target of Republican presidential candidates. Several of them want to shut the agency down, and they're saying that it's a job killer.
Yeah, that's just nonsense. It just is. And part of what we all have to do is remind folks what those regulations do. We're talking about basic public health protections. You know, the Clean Air Act is the best public health investment Americans have made for themselves in the last 40 years. Over $2 trillion in health benefits over the 40-year history of the Clean Air Act. What they're really talking about is rolling back protections that essentially gut that act. It would be as though we don't have the Clean Air Act again. We're back to the days when we have to rely on industry to police themselves. There'd be no environmental cop on the beat, no national standards. Same thing with the Clean Water Act. And I get kind of, you know, emotional when I talk about it, because I think it's hard for our kids and whole generations to realize, because they've never seen what happens when industry, when there's no environmental cop on the beat.
You do get emotional from time to time. I was I was reading about your speech at Atlanta to a number of young girls who were graduating from a school there, African-American girls, and it sounded like you really did get quite choked up.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things I talk about a lot is that we have to make environmentalism a non-boutique issue. For too many, we risk having people think that the environment is either taken care of. Oh, okay, they did all that work back in the 70s. I heard about that Earth Day thing a long time ago. Or they think of environment as clean energy and forget that the reason we want clean energy is because we want to be able to breathe and we want to be able to swim or fish or enjoy clean drinking water. It's a blessing that we have in this country. So I think it's really important that we talk to young people, especially young people of color, because we have to teach them that part of our of being an American and is caring for our environment. Americans have insisted that we have economic growth and jobs and a healthy environment for 40 years.
Well, you've been called the environmental conscience of this administration, and you also have said on a number of occasions that the core issue for you, speaking of people of color, is environmental justice. What has the Obama administration done really to move forward on that score?
I'm really proud that we have been an administration that has reinvigorated environmental justice, and not just at EPA, but across the many parts of government who have a hand in that, whether it's the Department of Justice and handling the huge backlog, and it's really tragic backlog of Title VI cases that haven't been solved, or Department of Interior as we work and look for renewable energy opportunities on tribal lands, or the Department of Agriculture and their rural development fund, so important for bringing clean water to poor communities, or I work with health and human services and looking at diseases and environmental causes of diseases. It's been a all hands on deck effort. I'm proud to have been part of an administration that led it. At EPA, we've got something called Plan EJ 2014 with concrete actions that we have committed our agency to over the next years to really move forward and make what we say is a systemic investment. So it's in the skeleton of the agency. And I should mention that just this week in Congress, we had a bill introduced to roll back some of those efforts. And for the life of me, I can't understand why anyone would be against the concept that clean air and clean water should be for everyone.
And we're talking with Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lisa Jackson. Is, especially with the Republican Congress, cap and trade dead in the water?
Well, you know, I kind of like to remind people that we have emissions trading right now in this country. We do it for pollution other than greenhouse gases. We do it for NOx with smog. That's the precursors to smog. We do it for SO2, which is, of course, responsible for acid rain and fine particle pollution. And it works really, really well. And one of the discussions we're having right now is on something called the cross-state air pollution rule, which will, for very little investment and for a lot of utilities that have already put on pollution control technologies, actually is a market-based program where they'll be able to get credit and actually sell the allowances that they got for putting on pollution control early. That's a business-friendly, flexible way that allows a business person to make a decision. Hey, do I want to put on controls today or put it off for a little bit longer and buy allowances to pollute? And that system was developed in a bipartisan fashion. So I am hoping, that's a long answer, but my hope is that reason will return, and in a reasonable way, business will eventually become the biggest advocate for a market-based program right now is certainly not going to happen in the near future.
Again, we're talking with Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lisa Jackson. She's here in the Bay Area meeting with local businesses and organizations. And let's bring on a couple of callers. We'll go first to you, Max. Good morning. You're on.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask the administrator if without a carbon tax or a carbon cap and trade program, is it really possible for solar and other forms of green energy to make it in the marketplace, since fossil fuels are artificially cheap and the cost of them doesn't include the cost of the damage they do to the environment?
Well, certainly there is a need, Max, for us to at least, at a minimum, make sure that pollution from fossil fuel is not cost-free, isn't passed on to consumers or in the form of higher health care bills, because that's what happens when pollution isn't regulated. And that's what will happen if you remove the regulations. I mean, it really is important to understand that. But to answer your question directly, I don't think it's, you know, all hope is lost. Yes, history shows that if you have a market-based emissions trading program or some kind of price on pollution, it moves much quicker. But regulations also price pollution. They internalize for a company the cost, whether it's, you know, what comes out of your smokestack or what comes out of your pipe, your discharge pipe, or what you put into the ground or into a landfill. All those costs are now things you're required to do and you have to internalize. And so I think it's important that we continue to simply do our job, which is to make sure that EPA is the Clean Air Act, because what we see is that when we deal with things like mercury or arsenic or fine particle pollution, we're also dealing with a lot of really old coal-fired power plants that are well past their lifespan, and eventually businesses are going to have to make some decisions about whether they can continue to operate something like that or put on controls or shut down or repower. So all of it moves in the same direction.
Let me thank Max for the call, but I imagine, Administrator, you must be somewhat, well, frustrated and disappointed that you don't have the stricter smog limits and that you won't be meeting targets at the end of the month for greenhouse gas regulations for the power plants.
Yeah, you know what? One of the things, frustrated is too strong, because we have so much important things that we're trying, so many important things we're trying to do. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to now turn to defend as strongly as we can the efforts that are going on right now, today, and probably over the next weeks to roll back the mercury requirements for power plants. That is, you know, job one. Job two is the effort going on right now today to roll back the cross-state air pollution rules, which are a market-based program. And then absolutely at the same time to continue to move forward, to put forward standards for greenhouse gas, for utilities, to continue to move forward on ozone. And while we're going to do the reconsideration in 2013, let me just give a quick California example. California is right now implementing the 1997 standard. They didn't meet the old one-hour standard. There is still plenty of work that has to be done and will be done in the meantime by states to implement in places where there isn't attainment with the older standards.
Let me go to another caller, and that's Marnie. Good morning. You're on the air. Marnie,
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm hi. I am concerned with the loss of manufacturing jobs, both in the solar industry and also in other industries in the Bay Area. We cannot move forward when we are competing without any protections against China. The reason that Solyndra went bankrupt is because the government of China fully subsidizes and directly subsidizes the solar industry there, and in fact, there have been bids on American solar companies that have gone bankrupt directly by the Chinese government. So to say that American companies can compete on using only business financing is a fairy tale. And we will not, the bank bailout, all the money we gave to the banks should have gone directly to businesses and the manufacturing sector in green technology and in other sectors where we can keep.
Forgive me, Marnie, but a lot of money did go into.
No, actually, nothing compared to China. We put in half. I think it was $500 million. China.
The stimulus, the American Recovery Act that President Obama led the passage of when he first was elected, had $80 billion in grants and loan guarantees for clean energy and energy efficiency. And that was everything, not only manufacturing, but installation and innovation as well. And in fact, that's part of the money that has gone to, you know, numerous companies across this area. So I think one of the things that the president is trying to stress with this American Jobs Act, he said in his speech to Congress that manufacturing jobs are very important to this country. He also said innovation is. That's why he's looking at tax cuts to help small businesses grow. Yes, we're going to have to rebuild this manufacturing sector for many sectors in the face of huge headwinds in the form of international competition. But I tell you what, I went to a place yesterday called Recology. They handle all the solid waste for much of the Bay Area. They recycle so much of it because you guys have such wonderful policies and laws here in the city. That is manufacturing. You know, you might call it demanufacturing, but I joked with one of my staffers as I walked out. I haven't seen that much moving equipment since, I think, my freshman year in engineering school. There is tons of manufacturing that we can, and I think, still make homegrown by virtue of the fact that solid waste needs to be dealt with here. It's much cheaper to do it than to put it on a barge somewhere. So we have to be innovative, and yes, it might feel like a little bit of a setback on manufacturing of solar right now. But I think the American Jobs Act, those tax cuts, continuing the federal tax credits for renewable manufacturing and installation are all part of the picture.
I don't know, Administrator, if you knew the late Ted Rozak, who wrote Making of a Counterculture and Beyond the Wasteland, died recently. But he talked about something he called environmental triage. There are so many things that really come under your purview that I wonder how you've been talking about mercury and really putting a kind of full court press onto mercury now, but how do you decide what really gets ascendancy in terms of priorities?
Well, we have to do that, especially in tough budget times, certainly when we have targeted budget cuts against EPA. And I have to also give a plug to state agencies and local agencies. Of course, here in California, those are really, really important. But across our country, we're seeing budget cuts to state environmental protectors, and it's going to have a huge impact on the quality of our air and water. To answer your question, we did, when we started the Obama administration, Obama's EPA, we set priorities. We said dealing with climate change was important, making sure we continued to make aggressive progress on clean air, because we knew climate change and clean air were so interrelated, and public health is so much at risk without clean air. We said we have to make another step forward on clean water. There are still 10%, almost 10% of Americans who don't have access to water that meets federal standards. They're on our tribal lands, they're in border communities, they're in poor rural communities where they can't afford the treatment because they don't have enough people. That's not okay. We have to clean up our communities, brownfields programs, to make land where in a city, in a metropolitan area like San Francisco, you don't have new land. You have to make it out of the land that we've already used. In expanding our conversation so we bring new young people into the environmental, sustainable, green economy, all extremely important work. And last but certainly not least, something I don't get a chance to talk a lot about, but toxic chemicals and making sure that we don't backtrack. And in fact, hopefully someday we'll see people in Congress heed the president and Senator Frank Lautenberg and others' leadership and pass new.
Administrator, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. Administrator Lisa Jackson. I'm Michael Krasny.